honor, both a pleasure for me to be here on tonight. First, I want to give thanks to God who makes it all possible. Thank God for Moses who gave us the Torah. Thank God for the prophets who gave us the historical books and the poetic books. I want to thank God for Jesus who gave us what we know as the New Testament. And I want to thank God for allowing Jesus to lead his apostles who gave us also the latter parts of the New Testament. There will become times in life when your faith will be tested. There will be times in life when everything will not make sense. There will be times when you think about giving up. But thank God for today. Today is a great day to be alive. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Anywhere you're going to go in this world, you must go from here on today. Yesterday is a history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift, and that's why we call it the present. And if you don't think it's a great day to be alive, then just miss one. And you'll see that it's a great day to be alive. There was this man on his deathbed that wanted his wife to make him a promise. He had saved up $50,000, and he asked his wife, "I want you to promise me that you will bury this $50,000 with me when I die." Reluctantly, she agreed and said, "Okay, I'll bury you with the $50,000. He died. And right when the casket was in the front of the church, she put a box there, and her friend said, "I know you did not just bury, not about to put this money and bury this money with him." She said, "Yeah. I'm a Christian lady, and I got to keep my promise." She said, "Really? Are you about to bury this man with $50,000? She said, "Yeah, by the way, I wrote a check." That's a check that's going to bounce. Amen. "I will not be before you long. And I promise." Most preachers say, "I will not be before you long." That means an hour and 30 minutes. "But I promise you, I will not be before you long. I have a scripture that means a lot to me that's not found in the Bible. And it goes like this. Blessed are the preacher when he preach a quick sermon, for he will be invited back." So with that observation, I will not keep you long. If you would turn to Colossians. Colossians found in the New Testament shouldn't be that hard to find. If you get there, say amen. If you're not, say wait. There are no wait. Yes, everyone is there. And the Word of God reads, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. For him." Just for clarification, I want to read this one more time. "For by him were all things created. There are in heaven and there are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. For him." For my sake, let me have a word of prayer. Would you join in with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. I need you at this moment because I cannot do a thing without you. Heavenly Father, give me strength to speak with boldness, oh God. Take away all fear, doubt, and nervousness, oh God, that I may stand and be the servant that you need me to be for your people in your house on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For a brief moment, I want to preach from this subject. Just one. More thing. Just one. One more thing. Now, what I just said has nothing to do with what I just read. I want y'all to get on the bus. We may take a couple detours, a couple stops. We may even stop at a red light or two. But the red light is not the destination. I want you to get on the bus. And when we come to a complete stop, it all makes sense. Even the late, great Ray Charles will see it, and Stevie won't have to wonder. Just one more thing. Dr. Miles Monroe wrote several years ago in his book, The Pursuit of Purpose. He said that the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but living without purpose. He goes on to say that the most dangerous man in the world is that man who is alive but does not know why he was born. Dr. Miles Monroe's observation became real to me several years ago when I was reading this article on the internet. It talked about a 39-year-old day trader named Mark Bart. He walked into this brokerage farm in Atlanta, Georgia, with a Colt 45 on one waist and a .357 Magnum on the other. When he left that brokerage farm, he left 9 people dead and 13 people injured. In any attempt to catch this maniac, he went to Akron, Georgia, when police got pursued behind him. He pulled over at a gas station in this city, took that Colt 45 from his waistline, he pulled the trigger. His brain scattered, his blood splattered. He was dead. And in a further attempt to understand the mind of this maniac, they went to his apartment where they found the more gruesome sex. They found his wife blundering to death. They found his son, Matthew, blundering to death. His daughter, Leanne, blundering to death. But when they went into the kitchen, they found the letter. And he said, my life is so miserable. I do not know why I was born. The most dangerous man in the world is that man who is alive but does not know why he was born. Purpose. Purpose is not found in the product. Purpose is found in the producer. Purpose is not found in what is manufactured, but purpose is found in the manufacturer. Purpose is not found in the building, but purpose is found in the build-up. Purpose is not found in the creature, however brilliant he thinks he may be, is found in the creator. No car ever made itself or was made for itself. That's why you'll never sit on Florence Boulevard trying to drive itself. No cake ever made itself or was made for itself. That's why you'll never see at a kitchen table trying to eat itself. Purpose. All things were made by him for him. Y'all still on the bus? Y'all still on the bus? Some of y'all look like y'all may be old enough to remember the A model Ford. Several years ago, there was this man in the city of Michigan that bought him an A model Ford. He rode the city streets. And the A model Ford stopped on him. And he said, I just bought this thing. I don't know what's going on. And he couldn't get it to turn off. He couldn't get it to crank. And another young man pulled up in a similar car. He said, hey, let me give it a shot. He turned a hose and he hooked some up and he unhooked some and he put some together. And it crunked. And he walked away and went to his car and the young man said, hey, who are you? He looked back and said, Henry Ford. Henry Ford could fix it because Henry Ford made it. You can't fix me. You don't know me. I can hear the words of Marshall Keeble saying, fix me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shine a light from heaven on my soul. And if you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out. I want to be fixed. I want to be right. I want to be whole. Purpose. All things were made by him. For him. It is your purpose to colonize the world. What do I mean by colonize the world? It is your job and your duty as a believer, as young people. And there may be some here tonight saying, I'm too young. There was a lot of believers in the Bible that they thought was too young. But God used them. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're used to. I don't know what you've been through. But I can tell you that God has a plan and God has a purpose for you. You did not just end up here by surprise.
Everyone that God created, he created with a purpose. And it is our purpose as believers to colonize the world. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It's something significant about the word glory. When you hear glorify, you hear glory. When you hear glory, you hear glorify. So what am I saying? The word glory holds the connotation, weight, impact, and culture. If you go to a Chinese restaurant downtown in Florence, after you get done eating, you have an opportunity and you just experience the culture, the weight, and the impact of China, and you've never been there. So when God says, let your light so shine for the world that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, when we walk a certain way, when we love a certain way, when we believe a certain way, when we sing a certain way, the people see God in us and they get a chance to see the weight, the culture, the impact of heaven, and they never took a trip to heaven. We give individuals a chance to see what heaven looked like on earth. And that's why when the disciples said, Lord, how shall we pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our job is to colonize the individual that we come in contact with at school, at work, anyone we come in contact with. Our job is to show them a glimpse of what heaven looked like on earth. And that's why the word of God says, although we live in this world, we're not of this world. You're more than conquerors. As we move ahead, it is your purpose also to move forward. You may be young, but there are some people in here on tonight that have been through some things and have not always made the right decision. It's okay. You got to move forward. There have been times in your life when you have made bad decisions that have put you back a step or two, but you got to move forward. There are some people in here on tonight that may be hurt because father may not have been the father he needs to be. Mother may not have been the mother they need to be. Friends may walk away from you. Family members may turn on you. But you have to move forward. We have to let certain things go. I heard this story once about these two brothers that was walking through the woods and they found this man who was broken. Not only was he broken, but he broke his ankle and he needed help home. These brothers grabbed this man, they took him home, and once they took him home, the younger brother continued to complain. Oh man, that man was heavy. Oh, he weighed 300 pounds. My neck, my back is hurting. But the older brother never said a word. He continued, oh, my neck, my back. And he never said a word. After hours of complaining, the older brother said, we dropped that man off 3 hours ago. And you're still carrying him. You got to let it go. The word of God says in Philippians 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself as apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before me. You got to move on with your life. You cannot allow a downfall that held you down to keep you down. And whenever life throws you down, try your best to land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. It's not the end. Keep on fighting, my sister. Keep on fighting, my brother. I know it get hard. I know we keep fighting. I know we fall down. But keep striving for greatness, my sister, my brother. It is not the end. 7 years ago, I had a friend that died in a car accident. And when we thought he was going to make it, we went to the hospital. Instead of being introduced with good news, we was introduced with what we felt as bad news. We hate to see people leave. You may have someone in your life that had to leave. But the doctor said something so significant, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. The doctor said when we put the defibrillators on him, we tried our best to get him, but there was no life in him that we can connect with to bring him back. And I thought about it. And it stuck with me for years. It took over 5 or 6 years for me to get a revelation on this thing. And I thought about it. Whenever the devil and his demons leave out of your room, he should say the same things. I tried to give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I tried to give her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. But there was not enough life in her that I could connect with to to get her to go back to a life of stealing, to get them to go back to a life of lying, to get them to go back to a life of living in sin. There was not enough light inside of them to get them to go back. You can't go back. God is dependent on you, and the believers are dependent on you. Hebrews chapter 12 said, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us run. Let us run this race. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets you, and let you run this race with patience. Look into Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. So on tonight, you can't look back. But just one more thing. Just one more thing. It is your purpose to maximize your potential. Do you truly know who you are? Do you truly know what you are here for? Do you truly know purpose is the reason something was made? All things were made by him for him. All things were made by him for him. All things were made by him for him. Do you know who you are? The word of God says in 1 Peter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you actually know who you are? You're made in the image of God. Some people may have told you at school that you're nothing. You may have enemies that told you that you would never amount to anything. You may be at a stopping point in your life. You may be at a crossroad. Let the word of God be the guiding light. For the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In the most difficult times in life, turn to the word of God. And this message is not just for young people, it's for older people. Mothers and fathers, we have to be there for our children. Mothers and fathers, we have to be a guiding light in the life of our children. And so many times we get so caught up on the things of the world that we forget about what our children are going through in the house. Sometimes we get caught up on watching soap opera. But if you want a soap opera, I got a soap opera for you. No longer can we allow our children to be young and restless when they only have one life to live. And as the world turns, we ought to teach them how to be bold and beautiful. Use the education of God's word to be their God-like so they don't have to end up in a general hospital. That's a soap opera. Do you truly know who you are? You're destined for greatness, my sister. You're destined for greatness, my brother. No matter what career you choose, let the light of God shine in your life. And don't let it go out. Psalms 139 verse 14 says this. I will praise thee for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Put it inside your mind. Hide the word of God in your heart so you may not sin against it. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, somebody talked about me, but I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, I made mistakes in my life, but I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I know I'm at a crossroad, but I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I know my father may not have been there, but I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what God said about you. That's what God said about you. So are you going to take the opinions of the world? Or are you going to take the word of God? For thou hast the world of eternal life. But just one more thing. Just one more thing. Some of you look like you may be old enough to remember Columbo. Columbo was my man. It was a TV show that came on NBC 7 years ago, started in 1978. I wasn't born there, but I caught it years later. Columbo was the lieutenant of the Los Angeles Police Department. Columbo never lost a case. He drove an old beat-up car. He talked about a wife that we never saw. Columbo! He smoked a cigarette that was rarely lit. Columbo. He wore a trench coat. Columbo. And we knew, you knew, I knew that Columbo was going to get his man. It wasn't going to take an hour to get it, including commercials. Columbo. And one day, look at it. Watch this, sister and brother. I was blown when I realized Columbo. As I began to watch the credits go up the television screen, I realized that Columbo was not a lieutenant. He was an actor. I say, man, I've been looking up to this man. He's an actor. He's not a lieutenant. He was an actor by the name of Peter Falk. His only brilliance was in his ability to read and follow the script. A script that was written for him by somebody we never saw. And right when the criminal thought he was going to get away, Columbo would look at him and say, just one more thing. And the one more thing was the key to the puzzle that made the rest of the puzzle make sense. And the one more thing was to unlock the whole case. And the one more thing was written when the rest of the script was written by somebody we never saw. It was already in the script. And script is the root word for scripture, for all scripture are given by inspiration of God. Study to show thyself approved. So whenever this world gives you trouble, go to the script. Whenever you worry about trust, go to the script. And the script will tell you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Whenever you need to know what your priorities should be, just go to the script that was written for you by somebody we never saw. And the script will tell you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Whenever sickness touch your body, just go to the script and see what the script says about sickness. For I know that if this earthly body is dissolved, I have a house of God, not made with hands, eternally in the heavens. Whenever you need protection, just go to the script that was written for you by somebody we never saw. And the script will tell you that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. God in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the northern pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and on his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. The script. Anything you're looking for is found in the script. And whenever you're looking for purpose, just go. Just go to the script. And the script will tell you that all things were made by him, for him. As we come to a close, I told you I wasn't going to keep you long, didn't I? I kept it real. As we come to a close, I want to entertain the scriptures just for a moment. And I will not go beyond. Several years ago, I heard a brother give an analogy, and it meant a lot. Put on your spiritual glass and just take a walk with me for a moment. Let's go back over 2,000 years ago. And let's look at the judgment of Jesus Christ. Many historians would say, and I've read different literature on this, and many historians would say from the main court in which Jesus was judged, can anybody tell me, and it's okay to say it, who was the man that they released in place of Christ? Barabbas. The charges that Barabbas had, the jail cell that they probably would have him in, let's say approximately 250 feet from the main court in which they judge Christ. Barabbas know that he's a criminal. Barabbas know that one day he's going to be facing the death penalty. He knows that. He knows that he's a sinner. He knows that he's made mistakes. He knows that he's not adequate. Similar to me and you. The Bible never tells us what happened to Barabbas. But I just want to entertain for a second. When Pilate began to say, who do you want me to release? Barabbas. What do you want me to do with this man named Jesus? Crucify. Who do you want me to release? Barabbas, the people replied. What do you want me to do with this man named Christ? Crucify. So from his jail cell, the only thing that he can hear is, crucify Barabbas. Crucify Barabbas. Crucify Barabbas. Can you see the tears in Barabbas' eyes? Can you see Barabbas about to face his fate? Who do you want me to release? Barabbas. What do you want me to do with Christ? Crucify. Crucify Barabbas. Crucify Barabbas. Crucify Barabbas. Crucify. And as the guards make their way to his cell, I want to believe that he began to cry. I want to believe that he began to doubt. I want to believe that he began to feel hell's flame. And as they take the shackles off his ankle, and as they take the shackles off his wrist, they take him to the main court. And at this moment, he's looking face to face with Jesus. And they tell him, Barabbas, you can go. You can go. I want to believe that he began to cry. What you mean I can go? Dead man Jesus stood in your place. He stood in your place. You deserve death. He stood in your place. And the reason the scriptures may not talk about Barabbas, we don't know what God had in plan. But the reason I believe and I want to believe that the Bible never talks about what happened to Barabbas, because I am Barabbas, you are Barabbas, we are Barabbas, we deserve death, but Jesus stood in our place. He took the nails when it should have been our nails. He took the scrutinizing when it should have been our scrutinizing. He took the disrespect when it should have been our disrespect. He took the spit when it should have been ours. He took the vinegar when it should have been ours. He took the thorns when it should have been our thorns. Jesus took your place. And it's up to you to write the rest of the story about what happened to Barabbas. The Bible says, hear the word. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Brothers and sisters, I leave you with this. You are the generation of tomorrow. Once mom and dad is gone, you are the church of tomorrow. Hate to be blunt, but mom and daddy will take that transition and get on the plane and leave you. What would you do with your faith? What would you do with your purpose? Everyone that God created, he created with a purpose. And when you're lying on your deathbed, what purpose would look you in the face and said, you did not use me? God gave me to you, and you did not use me, and I must die with you. And that's why they say that the graveyard is the most wealthiest place on earth. You have so many dreams and purpose that God gave to Christians, and they did not use it. God put books within some of you bosoms to bring glorification to the kingdom of God. Use your purpose to bring glorification to the kingdom. I stand with you. I weep with you. I mourn with you. And I confess, I struggle with you. Struggle with the problems of this world. Struggle with the sins of this world. I struggle with you, my brothers. We're standing together. You can come at this time as we stand and as we sing.